Welcome to the Smart Dating Academy podcast. I'm Bella Gandhi, the founder of Smart Dating Academy and your host. I started Smart Dating Academy in 2009 because I had this crazy knack of giving people dating advice that actually worked, that I took. I've been married for almost 25 years, and now my company helps people to date smarter and to find love. This podcast is meant to bring more love into your life, no matter where you are and what you do. And we're here to bring more life into your love. Smart daters, welcome back. I hope you've had an amazing week. And this has been a really special week for me personally, because for those of you who might have been following me on Facebook or Instagram, you know that May 17th, Andy, my husband, and I celebrated our 26-year wedding anniversary. 26 years. Can you believe that? I can't believe that. So what we thought we would do was based on a gift that Andy gave to me last year on our 25th anniversary. And it was called Secrets from 25 Years with the Perfect Mate. And it was so, so special. We clearly didn't get to it on our 25th anniversary. So we added one more to the list. But what we want to share with you truly is people ask us all the time, like, you guys got married so young, you've made it work for 26 years. So we sat down and really thought about things we thought would help you, whether you're single, whether you're out there dating, whether you're in a new relationship, to really think about how a great relationship can function and how you can do your best to be the best partner, maybe to yourself right now, as you're out there dating. You can be the best partner to new people that you're coming across in the dating world, or great partners to the future love of your life, the lid to your pot. And I'm so excited to have my dearest lid to my pot, the only lid to my pot, Andrew Anacone here with me. Welcome to the podcast. I can't believe this is your first time on.
I don't think it's the first time on. I think I've been here before.
You've not been on the podcast.
Oh, we've done the Instagram Live. That's right. I've not done the podcast. Well, I'm happy to be here and crazy. And by the way, just wanted you to know, I called you perfect in that thing from last year. So here we are. We're just off of a photo shoot that we did to commemorate the anniversary. That was Bella's idea. It was a great idea. She looked phenomenal. Aww. After all these years. And so here we are.
You guys, see, you want a partner that sees the best in you and is affirmative. I mean, we were, you know, kind of thinking about what was an experience that we could do to really make this a special anniversary. Again, kind of dropped the ball on the 25th anniversary, right? But that's what a good partner does. They forgive you.
I should have done
so, it. Right, exactly. So now we did it this year. But if you can, one thing I would tell you to do is do a photo shoot. You know, whether it's with yourself, your family, your friends, we don't do these things enough. And while it seemed like it was a little bit of a pain in the patootie to get ready and to do it. And for those of you who haven't seen the photos, we'll post a page on the website so you can actually see our love story and the inspiring love stories. But we wore the same clothes that we wore for our wedding. Well, actually, I wore my wedding dress. Andy had a new suit because he's smaller now than he was then. So that suit his tux wouldn't have fit him. And we just had the biggest blast just dressing up and running all over Chicago and doing photos. And so what I can tell you is that do this for yourself, okay? Do a photo shoot for yourself. If you're in Smart Dating Academy, of course, you come to our studio and you do our photographs, but it's such a rewarding experience. It's not often that you and I are on the other side of the camera having somebody direct us and take pictures of us. And it was so fun and it's great memories. And I'm really glad that you brought it up, that was such a wonderful memory for us.
What was hilarious is there we are walking down the street, you in your wedding gown, the original wedding gown, I might add. And we kept getting congratulations. Everyone would look at us, say, oh, thinking we're getting married for the first time. Someone even ran out of a door and gave us glasses of champagne to commemorate, which was kind of funny. But I guess that's what happens when you walk down the street on a Tuesday afternoon in a wedding gown.
Yeah, y'all, I had no idea walking out. I got into an Uber X in a white dress, and this dude looked at me like, lady, What's going on here? When I got out of this Uber, I didn't realize how you sort of stop all traffic around you when you're walking around randomly by yourself without an entourage and a long white dress. So yeah, kind of funny, but an amazing experience. So what we want to tell you guys today, like I said, is maybe we're going to say the 7 to 10 things that really have made us stay together, you know, besides being committed to our commitment, right? And I think that that's such an important thing. We, of course, through 26 years of being married, and we were together 4 years before we got married, right? That's 30 years. So you can imagine we've weathered some high highs. We've also weathered some low lows. And as Andy's showing us the 26 year photo for those of you can't see this, maybe you'll be watching it in the reel, but we've had some high highs and we've had some low lows. Also, you know, we, you know, lost a pregnancy at 15 weeks and had to go through an excruciating procedure to remedy that. And it was brutal. And even during those darkest days, when you think you'll never smile again and the tears never stop flowing and you weather those kinds of tragedies, when you are together and you turn inward towards each other, you can make it through those 30 years, right? So the first thing you wrote on your list, let's get back to this, is what?
Well, let's take a step back. First of all, why did I put this together last year? And I think by the way, this year I had a 26th, which we'll get to in a minute. But why did I put this together? I think the reason I did is at a meta level, I realized that over all this time being married, we've learned a whole lot about what it takes to be a good partnership. And I've learned a tremendous amount about how to be a good partner. And I realized that over the years, there are all these lessons that have come into my mind that just seemed to make sense to put it all together and put it all in one place so that I can relearn it and keep it top of mind and teach our kids those learnings, et cetera. And so that's really why I did it. And, you know, it was 25 things that I thought were really made the difference in any relationship, and certainly personally for us. And the first one is marry your best friend. Mm. And for those who don't know our story, that is in fact what we were before we got married. We were best friends really through high school and even in college. And then something clicked and there we were. But that has made all the difference because it's not just about the fairy tale romance. It's really about being each other's best friend through thick and thin, the ability to talk to each other about anything, about life, about philosophy, about business, about friendships and other friendships. And really that's at the root of everything. And so that was clearly the first one. What do you think?
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I've told this story probably multiple times on this podcast. How did we get together, right? Andy, the good part of knowing each other through high school and college is we have no skeletons. So he knows, you know, the various revolving door of characters that I dated, or I don't know, we should put, she's shaking his head right now, dated in quotes, maybe temporarily dated, long-term dated, some were great.
Everybody gets some mulligans.
Some were not so great. And I kind of got my own mental house in order my senior year of college, you know, as I had dated enough people that gave me butterflies. You guys know, as devoted podcast listeners, what I have to say about butterflies. Everybody that gave me butterflies in my stomach when I dated them ended up, you know, putting me flat on my back, staring up at the ceiling going, how the hell am I in this much pain all over again? So I realized the people that gave me butterflies aren't good for me. And who are the people in my life that make me happiest, right? Andy was the first person I would call in the morning, the person I would tell virtually anything to about anything that was heavy on my mind, anything that I was celebrating, and the person that I would either close down the bar with or talk to late at night. And I realized that he was the first elevator person that I identified in my life. So in addition to saying marry somebody that is your best friend or could become your best friend, you know, we talk a lot about elevator people at Smart Dating Academy. So really understanding what that is for you, somebody who elevates you, who lifts you up, who makes you one thing, they make you happy, right? And that's really, I think, marry your best friend, marry an elevator person. But I think that a truly deep connected friendship is the root to any long-term relationship, including a romantic one.
Yeah. And, you know, I certainly went through my own cast of characters through that time. And, it, you know, as we were best friends, we would counsel each other on each other's significant others.
Right.
And it was kind of hilarious. And we learned a lot about each other even through that process. And, you know, for those who have listened to Bella talk about dating and what it takes to be successful and all of that, one of the best ways, I think she says, to talk about how you know when it's right is it just feels easy. The relationship feels easy. And I think that is what really brought us together at that first point, is that there we were, best friends, starting to develop romantic feelings for each other. And it felt natural and it felt easy. And it was really the great foundation. But of course, that was only the beginning. From there, we've had 25 years, 26 years now of a relationship. And it's not just falling in love and getting together, but now it's about living together and building a partnership over time. And those are the remainder of the 25 things that I wrote last year.
Right. And, you know, Andy and I were talking about this before we hopped on to record this podcast, is so many people think that marriage and relationships, you know, are about dating somebody great on paper. And these relationships, ultimately, it's like, I want someone who makes a lot of money. I want someone who has a C-suite title. I want someone who's 20 years younger than me. And a lot of these relationships that we're seeing now at our age, as our kids are getting older, a lot of these relationships are breaking up and ending in divorce right now. And having these relationships that become more transactional, where you lose the friendship, right? That is really can be the death knell to any relationship. So think about this as you're out there dating. Is this person that you're dating, do you feel safe with them? Is it easy? Can you tell them what's heavy on your mind, what you want to celebrate? Because that is ultimately what's going to stand the test of time. And that kind of brings me into the second point that Andy wrote on this beautiful list. It's actually point number 12. So we're just skipping around here for your best benefit and skipping the ones that are more personal for us. But what he wrote was, believe in each other's integrity and intention. And for those of you, again, who have been following me for a while, you know that I always say, in any relationship, before you go back to your triggers, before you start spewing out venom, assume positive intent from the person that you're with. And this is so crucial in any relationship you're in, but especially your romantic relationship. Do you think the person that has chosen to say I do to you, or chosen to share a bed with you, chosen to make a life with you, do you think they want to hurt you? If you do think they want to hurt you, then maybe this is a really bad relationship for you. But really think about that. Does this person want to hurt me? No.
Yeah, it really applies to any relationship, like you just said. I mean, we've all received sort of a bad email from our boss, right, at some point in time. And then you think, well, wait, what is that? And a lot of times the wrong response is to immediately respond and blurt something back out and react. And oftentimes people say, look, take a minute, reflect about it, let your emotional grounding take root, and then go back and respond in a measured way, in the right way. And when you're talking about your long-term partner, romantic partner, boy, the wrong thing to do is start off assuming bad intent. You really should always think about positive intention and really think about that, because all it does is create heartache and bad action. Especially this can come up early in a relationship where you just maybe got together or just got married and you're still learning about each other. it's easy to bring those demons to the table, but know that you're together for a reason and it's all positive.
And to that point, and this is really hard to do in that moment, right? Especially when somebody hurts your feelings, ask that person, wow, after you assume positive intent and say, when I saw that look on your face, it made me think you were angry at me. When you sent me that note, it made me think I did something to annoy you. Is that a story I'm telling myself? Did I get your intention correct? Give the other person the benefit of the doubt before you, to some extent, you guys, where you bring your past to your present. Okay. I grew up in a household, we didn't talk about feelings. My family's really close now. My parents were immigrants, you know, and they weren't raised by parents that had them talk about feelings. So in our house, either you shouted at each other, you fought, or you stonewalled and you shut down and you dealt with it on your own. So this whole talking about your feelings in a constructive way, giving people the benefit of the doubt, not burying things, this was all new to me. These are skills that I learned in this marriage and obviously through, you know, becoming a better leader at Smart Dating Academy as well. And you really have to understand, where did I come from? Right. And if you know, you've got to turn that mirror in towards yourself. And this is one of the most important things that we can do in any relationship, is most of us can turn that mirror outward. You did this, you did that, you had bad intentions here, you hurt me here. But if you actually take that mirror and turn it 180 degrees and you put it on yourself, what was my contribution to this? Did I give this person the benefit of the doubt? Did I put my dukes up and punch this person in the face, right? What are my wounds? What are my triggers? And if I can tell you, as a corollary to that, assuming positive intent and believing in each other's integrity, examine yourself. Put that mirror back to yourself, and you've got those triggers, you've got those wounds. Believe me, I've got a whole bunch. How about you?
Oh, completely. Yeah, they're all there. And yeah, what you're saying is exactly right. You start with understanding. It's really about taking yourself out of that situation and not letting any signals or triggers push the conversation or the conflict in the wrong direction. Instead, it's about contextualizing everything truly, as you say, understanding yourself and what you're bringing to the table, and then enabling that conflict and that discussion to move on the merits for the right reasons. And the more you do that intentionally, the more it really pays off in dividends.
And I'll tell you what, you guys, when we first got married, there was no playbook. We were young kids in our young 20s. We didn't practice a lot of these things. We didn't come into this, you know, stage about how to be married. Heck, you're a finance person. I was running a manufacturing company at this point. We made all of the mistakes. We've used all of the harsh words, right? The household I grew up in, it was okay to blow up and explode. That's what I was used to. And I started to realize your words are like knives, right? You can say harsh words. They will never, ever help you. And you know what they do? They leave scars on your partner's skin. Why do that, right? Really examine your own responses and be honest with yourself. And if you need help around those, get the help. Do the work. The way to get a great partner is to become a great partner.
Couldn't agree more.
Now, let's move on to the third point that you circled on here. Andy said, although your life partners or dating partners or boyfriend, girlfriend, or girlfriend, girlfriend, whatever you are, you need to be individuals too. Tell us about this.
What that is a recognition that we've come together. And again, as Bella just mentioned, these are all things that we didn't know when we first got married, but learned over time.
Yeah. And
that's also why I wanted to chronicle all of these in that note to you last year. But this is a recognition that we really are individuals at the same time as we're partners. And that is a really important thing, because what I've seen in others not work out well is when one or the other are only focused on the other person and not really focused at all on also actualizing themselves. But I think one thing that you and I have done really, really well over time is help each other become better humans, individuals. And by doing that, it's actually brought us closer together. Certainly, I've done that with you building your business. You've done the same thing with me building mine. And all of that has been really, really productive. And it's a spillover effect that it unwittingly helps the relationship get better too.
100%. I mean, some of my darkest days were between 2006 and 2009, where I left my career at Akzo Nobel, and it was a great career, and I unplugged, and I wanted to do this, but I didn't know how to get there. And there were some pretty, I call those years, the dark years, and walking through that dark tunnel. And finally, when I emerged from the tunnel and I stopped worrying about failing and I stopped worrying about, my God, what if this date coaching thing doesn't take off? What are people going to think about me if I fail? And I found that conference to attend for dating coaches and matchmakers. Andy was the first person who said to me, he's like, invest in it. Go. And it cost me, you know, thousands of dollars to go do that. I didn't even have a business card, right? But I wanted to kick the tires and see if I could do this. And he's like, of course you're going to, of course you can go. Go do this. See if you want to be a dating coach. And as soon as I came home from that weekend, you all know me. When I go into something, what happens?
You're all in.
I'm all in. I go deep and I just keep digging. I'm like a dog with the bone. And from that day on, in October of 2009, that was the birth of Smart Dating Academy. But really understanding that I needed to carry my own weight in those dark years. Andy did the best he could to help me and to encourage me, but I had to realize I'm an individual and I have to pull my own weight and I have to do the things that make me happy. And while he could support that, he couldn't single-handedly make me happy. As good of a husband as he was for those 3 years, I had to do my work and remember that I am an individual and a partner in this relationship. And ultimately, I am responsible for my own happiness. And I knew I'm happier when I'm working. I'm a better wife. I'm a better mom. I'm a better daughter. I'm a better friend when I have an outside pursuit outside of my house. So you have to realize that you have the responsibility for your own individual happiness.
And think about the opposite of this, right? Think about when one of the two partners is not in a good place. What does that really mean? Well, what that means is that other person is not confident, that person is falling, that person is, you know, may even fall into depression, all these kinds of things, right? And so the future and the success of the partnership really needs to rest on two solid pillars of strength. And then from there, you can go off and build a good partnership. But if you don't have that, if one of those pillars is not strong, then it can threaten the entire relationship, right? And so what I've realized is it's really important to help each other be those strong pillars individually, because that is what really drives success.
Yeah, 100%. And you want to help strengthen your partner, but ultimately, again, turn that mirror back to yourself. Your partner cannot do everything for you. They can support you. They can want you to get better. They'll lend you a hand to get out of the well, but ultimately you've got to take the hand and you've got to be able to do the work to get out of the well. So always remember that the stronger your individual selves are, the stronger your relationship will be.
Let's move on to the next one. Next one's about conflict. It's a good thing to know that we never fight. No conflict whatsoever here.
Oh my God, hold on. The lightning is going to strike the liar who's sitting next to me.
Right. Well, what I wrote here was really something simple. It's not broad, although it definitely reflects all conflict, but it basically says, never escalate an argument.
And that's hard.
It is really, really
hard. It's hard. It's freaking hard, especially when you've been together for 30 years. And you guys, we've known each other forever. So do you think we know each other's hot buttons? Do you think we know what each other's pain points are? Abso-freaking-lutely. And do you think it takes restraint sometimes when you are hurt to not go to those places? Absolutely. And the key thing, and I think that we've been better at this for the last 10 years. I mean, look, Andy and I come from incredibly different backgrounds, culturally, religiously, just parentally. Our parents are so different. And we bring these two incredibly different ways of being. I am the product of my nature and my nurture. He is the product of his nature and nurture and how he grew up and how I grew up. And if you don't think that there's conflicts when you put two people together to navigate two big careers, two teenagers, a house, it is a pipe dream to think that you will not have conflict.
Yeah, you'll always have conflict.
Every day you'll have conflict.
Hopefully not every day, but some days or some, right?
Right. But some conflicts are small, like, what do you want to do? Do you want to go out to eat or do you want to stay home? Right. Well, I want to stay home. Well, I really want to go out to eat. Right. Those are little C conflicts. But then there are big C conflicts. Right. And we all know what those are, where we're worried about money, where we're worried about aging parents, where we're worried about what our teenagers are doing and how they're grating on the last molecules in our body. And these conflicts can be brought up by other people in our lives.
Right, right. And now what does it really mean to not escalate a conflict? I think what that means, and you've taught me this, what that means is sometimes, you know, sometimes a conflict is very, very pressing and you have to get to it right away. But most of the time, the conflict just exists in the ether. And the best thing to do is take a step away. Take a step away, allow things to settle, allow yourself time to reflect on what's going on, what demons, back to our earlier point, what demons are we each bringing to the table? And really get to the core of what's going on and take the emotion out of it. And the time often allows for that to happen. And if you rely on that earlier point we made, that really let's believe in each other's integrity and intention, it allows you to take these steps in a better way. Because the argument when you don't believe in the intention really would spiral out of control because you don't know what they're getting at. But if you really come back to that earlier point, this is about the best intentions, you can get to a better place.
Here's an easy thing to do. Yeah, we have conflicts, right? And sometimes it's, you know, our kids aren't home for curfew when they say they're going to be. And one of us is like, well, let's just forget about it. How can we forget about it? And at the end of the day, whatever is the pebble in your shoe, just have a rule where anybody can press pause. And you know, the goal is not to be right. The goal, you'll never, if your goal in an argument is to be right and to win, you will lose the relationship. The goal is to resolve the conflict and to make each other whole and to feel better and to figure out a best path forward. The goal is not to be right. When you find yourself wanting to be right, you've got a knife in your hand. And if you're going to argue at all costs to prove that you're right, you're going to lose the relationship. And is that what you want? Press pause. And I will say this, and I'm probably the big pause caller in this mm-hmm. family. Would you agree out of the four of us?
Oh, well, you've taught us all about this. And I think it's really been productive. And again, it didn't start on day one.
No,
26 years ago, but I think that's something that you have brought to the table. And I think what you're also talking about, you made me think of yet another, I'm going to add another one that we're going to talk about today that wasn't on our list. It was your equal partners. And the reason I bring this up is your point a second ago about wanting to be right. I think oftentimes there's a dynamic in relationships where people are aware of the power dynamic. And if I give in here, I'm going to lose power. And if I lose power, I'm going to not get my way going forward. And it's a very, very destructive way to think about this. If you think about yourselves instead as equal partners in this relationship, there's a lot of responsibility there, but it also means that you are sharing the power, and that's really what you want. You don't want this to be a one-sided relationship. You want this to be equal, and that plays into all this as well.
That's super correct. I love that. I'm glad you brought that up. So just press pause. Have a rule in all of your relationships. You can use this even in your friendships, right? When an argument starts to get heated, just say, hey, you guys, you know what? Let's take a break from this conversation right now. And in our house, when we take a break from something, we leave the room. I physically will leave the conversation. My family, Jade and Max and Andy know if I'm leaving and I will say, guys, I'm going to take a pause from this conversation. I'm not quitting. Cooler heads will prevail. And I walk out of the room. Sometimes it takes 20 minutes. Sometimes it takes a few hours. But what it does is it prevents escalation and those awful words. And it has brought down the temper of our household dramatically. In fact, last night we were out to dinner for our anniversary. We took everybody out, my parents, Jane and Max, my brother, my sister-in-law, and my mom asked my kids, what do you think has made your parents' marriage successful for the last 20 years? And Max said, you know what? They're both really open-minded to each other's ideas. And Jaden, our 19-year-old, said, they're really patient with each other, right? And that's so interesting to me. I would have never guessed that that's what they would have said, right? And so, but I think it's a testament to the fact that we work on this relationship, you guys. We weren't handed a magic wand and we weren't handed this magical life, right? We work at this. We picked partners where ultimately we are each other's best friend, where the relationship overall is easy, but there are hard things and that's where the work starts.
Yeah. And it's interesting what the both of them said, because in some ways what they both said was really getting at the same issue from different angles, right? It's about, you know, being patient and open-minded is really about just having an orientation that you want things to work and that you want things to succeed. And what you're not trying to do is one up each other or drive power or conflict. You're really trying to get along and it's an active choice. And I think it was interesting to hear that they perceived that just from our daily interactions.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, let's cycle to the next one. And you say, don't get trapped in the everyday.
And I think this is something that probably applies more to a longer term relationship than a new one. A new one is really about the romance and the newness and all of that. But as you have a longer term relationship, you realize that, you know, you're not just building a romantic partnership or friendship. You're actually building a life together. And there's a lot that comes along with that, right? It's like, it is a business, right? And you are joint venture partners in a sense of
you're running a domestic partnership,
running this whole enterprise that is called life. And there are a lot of responsibilities that have to do with that. It is keeping things clean. It's keeping things organized. It's financial. It's legal. It's all
medical. The relationships, there's so many aspects, as you all know, because you run your own house.
And then you have kids, if you do, or you have parents you're taking care of or whatever else. And you're taking care of everyone is taking care of some other living thing as well. Maybe it's a dog. And you have that responsibility as well. And what I'm getting at is it is easy to fall into the trap of managing the business of life and lose sight of that core thing that brought you together,
which is that friendship, ultimately, and having those conversations with each other. And, you know, people talk about date night. And here's the fallacy with date night. I think what Andy's saying, right? Okay, every couple should go on a date night once a week. Okay, but what the hell are you doing on those date nights? If you're sitting in front of the TV and watching Ted Lasso or The Diplomat or going to a movie every week, that's not date night. That's an activity. What date night should be is an intentional night where you don't talk about the business of everyday life. You're not talking about what happened at work that day. That's transactional domestic partnership stuff. It's what are you feeling right now? How are you feeling about life? How are you feeling about our life? Is there something weighing on you? What are you thinking about? What are you dreaming about? What are you afraid of? And staying connected in those really connected-y ways, that is how you stay out of the humdrum of everyday life. And if you can't do a date night, have those conversations, even if it's 11 p.m. while you're in bed together. You have to be intentional about having those conversations and connecting at those soul levels to be able to withstand the conflicts and withstand those hard waves that will crash into your relationship at some point throughout life.
Yeah, one thing that we have done and continue to do is called a marriage walk, where we'll just go for a walk together and we can talk about anything. But the reason I bring this up is that it reinforces this point that we are doing this intent. The reason we call it a marriage walk.
Tell them what the MBW is. Marriage binding walk.
Marriage binding walk.
We read about this like 20 years ago that the Swedish do this. And after dinner, they go for walks. And they all have happier marriages. And this was before the birth of Smart Dating Academy. So we started calling them, let's go on an MBW.
But the point here is that it's an intentional, and the fact that the word marriage is in it and binding is in it, is to reinforce that this is intentional about our relationship as romantic partners and as best friends, not just as business partners, right? And that is really what we're trying to do as we go forward here. And it is... it needs to be active. It needs to be intentional, and it needs to be proactive. And that's really the point we're making here.
Yeah.
And it also slides into the next point that I think is really, really important. And it's that the little things matter.
Oh, say it again for the people in the back.
The little things matter. I think of what you're doing when you enter into a long-term relationship. It is long-term by definition. And really what you're doing is you are weaving your lives together. And one way to view that is a business for transaction, and then with staccato big romantic events that occur. But really what you're actually doing is you're weaving your life together at a core level. And every little thing matters every day. And every day, I think Bella's talked about this, I make her coffee every single day in bed.
That's how I wake up. How amazing is that?
And that's just one little thing. But I think it reinforces that really we're weaving our lives together and doing it in a way that, and I like doing it, right? And I think it points out that this is really about just building little habits and little points of interaction continuously and constantly versus defining the relationship as one big romantic vacation once a year, right?
And, you know, John Gottman, who's one of my favorite relationship researchers, he talks about the ratio of positive to negative interactions. And this gets to Andy's point. He's not a student of Gottman. Obviously, he's in venture capital and private equity. That's more me. But really, the little things matter. You need to have, I think Gottman says something like 20 to 1. You need 20 positive interactions for every negative one. The positives got to overwhelm the hell out of the negative ones. Say the nice thing. Notice what your partner does. Oh my gosh, it's amazing that you changed the light bulbs in the living room and now they all look like that really nice color that I like. That's a hint to him, because we have all the mismatched light bulbs that make the living room look too yellow. But really noticing the things that he does, and he does a lot of things, and I try, and I'm not always good at it, but I like to notice the things that he does and tell them, because who doesn't want to be seen and affirmed for the things that they do?
And I'll add to that. On the one hand, it's about recognizing the good deeds that each other bring to the table
and telling them.
But part of my point here is actually that the true foundation of the relationship is the sum total of all of these things. And
Yeah. It's
a subtly different point, but it is a different point. And it's that the relationship and the romantic love and friendship needs to be, it can really only be built off of all of these daily small interactions that are in fact positive. And so it's not just about recognition, but it's literally about building that relationship.
Amen. Amen. And I'm really lucky that I have a partner who I said, hey, I've got this idea. I want you to come on the podcast. And he was like, okay, let's do it. So this is the thing. And I appreciate you being here, and I appreciate this amazing list that you wrote. And I appreciate that you came up with the idea to use this list as how we're going to help people to hopefully transform and develop and find their own happy relationship. So I appreciate everything that you do. And if it wasn't for you, I would have never started this business. If I had a partner who said, just go back to what you know. What do you think you're going to do with this? How are you going to make a living for us? How are you going to contribute? Just go back to manufacturing. You're a finance person. Don't take this risk. And instead, what he said to me, and we were talking about this the other day, I said, God, you really said to me, go do it. And you know what he said to me? He's like, because I knew that anything you did, you would transform into magic. How amazing is that?
Yeah, I wasn't worried at all. She was worried. That was a dark place for her.
I'm always worried. I'm the anxious one, as I'm sure you all could guess.
Not for me. I just knew it was going to happen. And back to this podcast, I'll use that to bring up the 26th tip that I came up with for yet another year. And that's just have fun together. We talked about a lot of deep things through the rest of this list, but really just be happy having fun together. And I think this podcast is another example of that.
Right. We get to just sit here next to each other, ruminating, talking. And, you know, I want to tell you, you're not one that, you know, you speak a lot for work, but you're really natural at being on this podcast. And I think that you should be a guest here more often because you're a lot of fun.
Oh, I don't know. That's a tall order. We'll see. I'm happy to do it. It's fun, right?
It's so fun. It's so, so fun. So you guys, I hope this has given you a little bit of the behind the scenes. And oh, let me see. Somebody had a couple of questions for us. Let me see if I can find them. Okay, hold on. Okay. Oh, well, I think we answered the questions. People sent us questions saying, what do you do to ensure that you have enough quality time for each other? We make the time for each other. We do our marriage binding walks. Mm-hmm. We go out and, you know, what's one thing you learned in your years together that you wish you knew earlier? I think the answer to that was, I wish we would have known how to de-escalate conflicts.
Yeah, I think that's right.
I think we would have had a much more peaceful first decade of marriage, right? So,
and I would add to that, actually, it's going to sound esoteric, but I think I wish I had known that the relationship itself was going to be a journey in terms of learning. And so that people, you shouldn't expect to come into the relationship and know everything that's going to make it run perfectly and smoothly, that it truly is a learning endeavor. And I think just with that shift in mindset, I think that does a lot to reframe how you even come at the relationship.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for being on my podcast, for being the lid to my pot, for giving me 26 amazing years and hopefully another 26 or 56, God willing. So it's good to get married young.
Sure is. Thank you. Thank you for everything for all of our years.
I love you.
Love you too. And, you know, in terms of coming back on the podcast, you could talk to my booker. and I'm sure I've got some dates in the next few months, but we can go back and forth and figure that out.
I'll have my people call your people. And guys, I hope that you enjoyed this episode, the little peek behind the curtains. And I want you to know that we have prepared a podcast listener survey, and you'll be able to get a link to that survey in the show notes. And we want to give you content that you love. We want to know what's important to you. We want to know who you are. We want to know where you are, how old you are, what's important to you, what kind of job you do, because we want to understand how to bring you content that you love and content that helps you. We want to make you better at Smart Dating Academy in dating and all of your relationships. We always said we want to bring love into your life and life into your love. So please take the time to download and answer the podcast so that we can be the best podcast partners for you. Thank you very much. If you need a consultation with us, reach out, join our email list at smartdatingacademy.com. Follow me at Smart Dating Academy on Instagram. And please, if you love this, write a review. Us little podcasters, those reviews, those five stars, those comments that you actually sit down and write, and it's really easy to do on Apple or Amazon or Spotify. They mean the world. They get us discovered by more people, which means we can keep bringing you more great content. So thank you again for being here and for responding and for reviewing and for doing all of the things so we can continue to be here for you on a weekly basis. Have a great week. And until I see you again, psychotic optimism today, tomorrow, and always. Thanks for listening. And as always, download us, share us, show us the love. Follow Instagram at Smart Dating Academy. And if you or someone you know wants to learn more, check out our website at smartdatingacademy.com. We're here to bring you love.